2 Corinthians chapter 6, starting with verse 3 through chapter 7, verse 1. Main themes: not putting any unnecessary obstacles in anyone's way by responding well to every situation. The Corinthians needed to have a close relationship to Paul and Timothy and limit their relationships to unbelievers. They needed to keep themselves holy. Now, even though the rabbi from Tarsus was one of the greatest men who ever lived, not only an apostle, but a very special apostle, the apostle to the Gentiles, the Jewish man entrusted to reach the peoples other than the people of Israel and teach them and help them apply the truth about the Jewish Messiah to their cultures. And even though Paul was one of the greatest theologians who ever lived, and even though he wrote a good portion of the Word of God, and even though the Lord used Paul to start communities of Messiah's followers in the province of Asia and in Greece, which influenced the direction of Western civilization, in spite of all these amazing things, Paul frequently was opposed by people outside Messiah's community of salvation, and he was opposed by people within Messiah's community of salvation. Can you believe that? It was important for the rabbi to defend himself and his ministry, his very important ministry, especially from the criticisms of those within Messiah's community, so that all of Messiah's followers could benefit from him and his extremely important ministry. Paul and Timothy and their co-workers, their evangelistic team, understood that they were God's ambassadors, God's co-workers, God's servants. And they needed to conduct themselves in such a way so as to not offend anyone unnecessarily. We put no stumbling block in anyone's path so that our ministry will not be discredited. The gospel, which is the message about the only way of salvation, the only way to live forever, is a stumbling block for most people. It's difficult enough for people to believe that the purpose of life is to be reconciled to the Creator by becoming loyal to a Jewish carpenter who was despised and rejected by the leaders of his people and died a humiliating and painful death. That is hard for most people to believe, that that is the goal of life, that is the purpose of life. God's servants didn't want to put any unnecessary obstacles in anyone's way by not handling every situation in the right way, the godly way. Paul and his team wanted their response to every situation they experienced, whether good or bad, whether positive or negative, to reflect well on them and their ministry and the God they served. Rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, in great endurance, in troubles, hardships, and distresses, in beatings, imprisonments, and riots, in hard work, sleepless nights, and hunger, in purity, understanding, patience, and kindness, in the Holy Spirit, and in sincere love, in truthful speech, and in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left, through glory and dishonor, bad report and good report, genuine yet regarded as imposters. Known, yet regarded as unknown. Dying, and yet we live on. Beaten, and yet not killed. Sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Poor, yet making many rich. Having nothing, and yet possessing everything. I love this passage. As servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, in great endurance, in troubles, hardships, and distresses. In spite of all the problems, difficulties, hardships, trials, suffering they experience, in spite of the beatings, imprisonments, and riots, Paul and Timothy and their co-workers never abandoned their faith or their Lord or their ministry. They never quit. They never gave up. They endured. In hard work, there were times when they had to work very hard to support themselves, work hard by traveling long distances, work hard at proclaiming the good news, work hard by teaching and correcting those who responded to the message. In sleepless nights, they encountered difficult situations that prevented them from sleeping. In hunger, they experienced times when they did not have enough to eat. Now, most people would become impatient, angry, resentful if they experienced troubles, hardships, and distresses, beatings, imprisonments, and riots, hard work, sleepless nights, and hunger. But not these men. They were characterized by understanding, patience, and kindness. They did not discredit their Lord or their ministry. They were understanding, patient, and kind. They were characterized by purity. In an impure world, they kept themselves pure, morally clean. They did not yield to sin. They did not give into temptation. They were characterized by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God was in them and filling them with wisdom, and He was working through them in powerful ways and doing all the amazing things that the Holy Spirit does in God's people who yield to Him. Sincere love characterized them and their ministry. They had a genuine desire to do good for others, especially for their fellow believers, but also for those who opposed them. Sincere love. Truthful speech characterized them and their ministry. They did not lie. They did not deceive. They proclaimed the truth. They taught the truth. Truthful speech. The power of God characterized them and their ministry. They had the ability to do extraordinary things, sometimes the ability to do miracles. They had the ability to live in an extraordinary way, the ability to declare the truth in a powerful way. The power of God characterized them and their ministry. Weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left characterized them and their ministry. Like courageous soldiers with weapons in both hands, these men were equipped to help others get right with God and overcome wrong thinking and wrong actions so that they believed the right things and did the right things. Weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left. People can respond to bad reports about them and being dishonored by becoming vindictive. And people can respond to good reports about them and being honored by becoming proud. These servants of God responded in the right way, the godly way, to glory and dishonor, bad report and good report. When people spoke well about them and honored them, they responded with humility and grace. When people spoke badly about them and dishonored them, Paul and Timothy and their group, they're in it for the money. They're arrogant. Most of the stories you've heard about them aren't true. They've done some bad things you don't know about. When people spoke badly about them and dishonored them, they responded in a godly way. They were genuine, yet regarded as imposters. Even though they were genuine, true servants of God, when Paul was accused of not being a true apostle, when he and his co-workers were accused of being false teachers, fakes, phonies, insincere, they responded in a God-honoring way. Known, yet regarded as unknown. People like to be known. They like to be respected. They get resentful if they aren't. Even though they were known in the throne room of heaven, known by the heavenly court, known by God the Father, known by Messiah the Son, known by the good angels, known by the true servants of God, many considered them to be insignificant and unimportant. Known yet regarded as unknown. When slighted in that way, they responded with grace. Dying, yet we live on. In spite of experiencing many life-threatening situations, the Lord had protected them. He enabled them to continue their valuable ministry. Beaten and yet not killed. Paul was repeatedly whipped, beaten with rods, pelted with stones. I'm sure other members of his team were beaten as well. Yet the Lord prevented the rabbi and his co-workers from being killed. Beaten, yet not killed. Sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Sorrow was a frequent companion of these men. In spite of experiencing a lot of sorrow, these men were able to experience happiness that did not depend on their circumstances. They were able to always rejoice, knowing their sorrows were temporary and their future joys eternal. Poor, yet making many rich. Many people judge their success by their wealth, but not these men. They were poor, but that did not upset them because they knew they were enriching many with the true wealth, salvation, eternal life, a great inheritance in the world to come. Poor, yet making many rich. Having nothing, yet possessing everything. They weren't bothered by having no earthly possessions because they knew they were God's sons who will inherit all things, having nothing yet possessing everything. These men lived in such a way that in every situation, good and bad, positive and negative, they responded like Messiah would have responded in that situation. They did not do anything that made it more difficult for others to get closer to God. They did not do anything to discredit themselves or their very important ministry or the God they served. Knowing these were the kind of men Paul and Timothy were, Messiah's followers in Corinth should appreciate them and love them and trust them, right? Paul and Timothy had opened wide their hearts to Messiah's people in Corinth. They had shared their thoughts, their feelings, their experiences with them, their love with them. They wanted the Corinthians to reciprocate. We have spoken freely to you, Corinthians, and opened wide our hearts to you. We are not withholding our affection from you, but you are withholding yours from us. As a fair exchange, I speak as to my children, open wide your hearts also. What a wonderful thing. God's people and great leaders of God's people relating to each other the way they should, with open hearts, yoked together, serving the Lord together. The Corinthians needed to have a close relationship to the rabbi and Timothy and to other sincere believers that would influence them in the right direction. They needed to guard themselves from having close relationships with unbelievers, which would influence them in the wrong direction. So Paul and Timothy write, "Do not be yoked together with unbelievers." Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. We cannot avoid associating with unbelievers, those who do not share our faith. Nor should we avoid associating with unbelievers, but we can and should limit our association, limit our friendships, limit our partnerships in business, limit our choice of life partners. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. Yoked together. Just as Moses commanded Israel not to yoke together a donkey and an ox and try to plow with the donkey and the ox yoked together, we do not want to have relationships with unbelievers which will prevent us from serving the Lord the way we should or pull us in a wrong direction. Makes sense, right? Of course. Paul and Timothy ask 5 questions to reinforce this truth. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? The answer? They have nothing in common. Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? The answer? There is no sharing, there is no fellowship of the most important things between light and darkness. What harmony is there between Messiah and Belial? Belial refers to a worthless person or perhaps a worthless angel. There's no harmony between Messiah, who is supremely worthy, and Belial, who is worthless. In life's orchestra, they're not playing the same music. They're not singing the same song. There's no harmony possible between Messiah and Belial. Or what does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? Someone who has the true beliefs shares very little in common with someone who denies the true beliefs. They don't share the same values. They don't have the same priorities. They don't enjoy the same destiny. What does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? We are to guard ourselves from having relationships with those who prevent us from serving the Lord the way we should or pull us in the wrong direction. One more question. What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? The answer, there's no agreement between the temple of God and the temple of idols. The temple of God demands exclusive devotion, exclusive loyalty. The temple of God abhors the temples of idols. And because of Messiah Yeshua, God's people had become the temple of God, the greater temple of God, the place where God lives on earth, manifests his presence on earth by means of his Spirit. For we are the temple of the living God. And as he does so often, the rabbi reinforces this truth with truth from the Word of God. In this case, truth based on a combination of quotes from Moses, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Now, that's a combination of quotes from Moses, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. God's promises to the Jewish people are now fulfilled in us, in Christians and in Messianic Jews. God living with human beings who were alienated from him, making them into his people, and walking among them in close relationship to them, being their protector and their provider. This is now fulfilled in us. I will live with them and walk among them. I will be their God. They will be my people. We are the temple of the living God. Since the Corinthians were the temple of the living God, who is holy, they needed to separate themselves from anything that would make them unholy. Paul and Timothy continue, therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. Just as the Lord, speaking through Isaiah, told the Jewish people who were living in captivity among the idolaters in Babylon to leave Babylon, come out from among them, and return to Israel, so God's people in Corinth needed to come out of the idolatry and the moral and spiritual pollution of Corinth. Separation from sin. Separation from sinful beliefs and sinful practices and sinful people is necessary, and it leads to closeness to God. Holiness, purity, separation, spiritually and morally clean living helps us become the sons and daughters of God that we are intended to be. And I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. This is another quote from the Word of God, from 2 Samuel chapter 7. Just as God promised David that he would be a father to David's son, so the Corinthians had now become the sons and daughters of God. Now they needed to live in a way that was consistent with that reality as God's sons and daughters. And of course, so do we. I conclude this message with Paul and Timothy's conclusion to this section, which is found in chapter 7, verse 1. Therefore, since we have these promises, dear friends, what promises? Promises of God living with us and walking among us, closeness to God, reconciliation to God, God being our God, which means our provider and our protector, not just our provider and protector, but our loving Father. Therefore, since we have these promises, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. Let's eliminate everything impure from every area of our lives, inward and outward, our thought life and our physical life. Because we know that God is real and is to be feared, respected, reverenced, and obeyed, we are to consistently work on pure living, resisting temptation living, holy living. Amen.